How did you get here tonight? If I were to have approached you with that question, you might would have said, well, don't be silly, I came in the car. But what route did you take? It's interesting that we would have had as many different answers as the people we questioned because we all came from different directions. We all came the way that we're used to coming to gather here at the building. And there's a lot of interesting things that could be said about the road that we took. And so tonight we want to talk about choosing the right road. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. This is a passage that is very familiar, uttered by our Lord and Savior while he was here on the earth, while he was talking to people, giving them the information that they needed so that they would make a proper choice as to which road they traveled. He said to them in this location, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Not only did he describe each of these roads, each of these paths, but he told what destination they would lead to. Oftentimes when we decide which destination we want to arrive or where we want to go, that determines the road that we take. Where are you going? How are you going to get there? That would be a question that you would answer if you were taking a trip. Where are you going? Well, I'm going over to Tennessee. Well, how are you going to get there? There may be a couple of different ways that you could travel from here to East Tennessee. And it's true in life, in the physical realm, there may be multiple places, multiple ways to get to a place from one point. For instance, we live in Troutman. And somebody says, well, how are you going to go? We might go directly to I-77 and go north towards Statesville and then get off on our exit. Or we might take 115 from Mooresville to 21 North directly into Troutman, and that's another route we can take. And there are variations within that particular route that we might take. Sometimes it's necessary because of road construction, because of an accident. Any other different things would cause us to choose a different road. And any of these, provided we continue in the right general direction, would ultimately or eventually get us to our point of destination. However, in the spiritual realm, there is but one way, much to the disagreement of many religious people. One way to get to the destination that all should desire. In our text, the Lord presented two roads. He presented two destinations. And choices must be made to reach each of those destinations. The choices that we make in this life will determine which of these two roads we will take, which of these two roads we will remain on, and our final destination. Oftentimes when you determine a destination, you need to ask a series of questions. I'm going to ask some tonight. And as I ask each of these questions, I'm going to answer it from the perspective of the narrow way. And I'm also going to answer it from the perspective of the broad way. One of the questions that might cause us to make certain decisions is, who do we serve in this life? Who is it that we serve? We do not want to serve ourselves. We don't want to serve other people. We want to serve God. And if we want to serve God, we're going to be on the narrow way. We're going to surrender our will to Him. In Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, we find the penman being directed by the Spirit to write to the Hebrews brethren and to make them understand that in order to serve God and do so faithfully, you must surrender your will to God. That's exactly what Jesus Christ did. When he came to earth and was born in a physical body. And in that physical body, he submitted himself or subjected himself unto his earthly parents, his mother, Mary, and her husband, Joseph. He also, in so doing, submitted himself to God. In Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, we read, though he were a son, speaking of Christ, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect or whole or complete, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. He submitted himself to God, and while he was here, he said on multiple occasions, I came to do the will of my Father, which is in heaven. This is important because Romans chapter 6 and verse 16 points out that the one that we yield ourselves to in this life will be the one that we serve. And as the Apostle Paul was directed by the Spirit to write to those Roman brethren, he wrote, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Remember what Jesus said? Enter into the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. You don't want to go that way. You want to go in the straight gate. And if you yield yourselves unto God, you will serve him unto righteousness. But what about that broad way? If we're serving ourselves, or if we're serving Satan. One way to describe serving ourselves is pride. In Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 18, we find written there something that will help us to understand that we're not to lift ourselves up. We're not to boast ourselves. It tells us there, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. If indeed we lift ourselves up, if we elevate ourselves, if we allow someone else to elevate us, why, the higher we get, the closer we are to falling. And great will be the fall thereof. To point to a biblical example, let us turn to Acts chapter 12, verses 20 through 23. This is something that happened in the church age. And this is something that happened after the establishment of the church. And there was a ruler named Herod. And we see there, Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon. But they came with one accord to him, and having made Blastus, the king's chamberlain, their friends, desired peace, because their country was nourished by the king's country. You see how things were going there. They wanted peace because they benefited from that peace by the king's country. And verse 21 says, upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of a God and not of a man. They elevated him to a point well beyond that which he should have been elevated to. And he had pride. He did not rebuke them for this. If you remember, when Peter came in to speak to Cornelius, Cornelius bowed down before him. And Peter said, no, you don't do that. I also am a man. But Herod didn't do this. He took that praise, and he was filled with pride. And verse 23 says, immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory, and was eaten of worms, and gave up the ghost. All power that man has in every position is given by God, not to the individual, but to the office. And God was not being served in that instance. And so those on the narrow way surrendered their will to God. Those on the broad way, they served themselves. Another question we might ask when we are approached with the situation about choosing a specific road is, whom do we praise in life? It kind of goes right along with, who do we serve in life? I'll guarantee you, the one that we praise is the one that we serve. As we look at the narrow way, we know what the answer to this is. We're to glorify God. The Apostle Paul was directed in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. As he was writing to those people, a congregation that had a multiplicity of problems, We know many of the problems that the church at Corinth had. And as he pointed this out to them, he asked them the questions to get them to think and to get them to contemplate. Who is it that they are supposed to praise? What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not of your own? You're not your own. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. This can be said a number of different ways. And in Romans chapter 15 and verse 6, we see it said this way, as the Apostle Paul there was penning the letter to the Roman brethren, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, united together, praising God for all of the wonders that he's provided for us, all of the blessings of this life. As James tells us, every good and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And this is what the Spirit was having the Apostle Paul write to those Roman brethren, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. But what about those on the broad way? Remember, that broad way is wide. The gate to it is wide. The way is broad, and it leadeth to destruction. Well, it is full of people who praise themselves, who are involved in self-indulgence. A number of different passages we could go to at this point to identify these kind of people. But first and foremost, let us know that temptations do not come from God. Oftentimes people think, well, God is testing me. God is trying me. God is tempting me. God did try some of his servants with physical tests. He did expect them to keep their vows when they made a vow. But when we are tempted, it doesn't come from God. It comes from within. And we know this because of James chapter 1, verses 13 through 15. As James was directed to write, he clears this up so that we all can understand that we are not to be looking within for justification or for praising ourselves. He says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. That does not mean everyone that is tempted is going to sin. I have had people to say to me, well, what is sin to you is not necessarily sin to me. And what they really meant to say was what tempts you might not tempt me. And I'll agree with that. But sin is sin. Sin is the transgression of God's law. And when the temptation comes upon us, we have it within our power to choose the right road. Because he tells them in verse 15, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. We know the end that will come if we succumb to that temptation, if we fall to that temptation, if we indulge ourselves and the lusts of our minds. It is important to understand that all humans sin. All humans are tempted. All humans struggle with the inner conflict that exists among humanity. So now I want to direct your minds to 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and following. We have the formula whereby we might not be self-indulgent. We find it here. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 beginning. Love not the world, sin, nor the things of the world, the sinful things. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And friends, you can take temptations, any and every temptation, and you can put them in one of these three categories. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And we need not fall to these things. We need not be self-indulgent. There were those, even in the Old Testament, who were self-indulgent, who were walking that broad way. In Daniel chapter 5, we have a king named Belshazzar. Some of us may remember what happened to Belshazzar. He was, by all accounts, a pretty wicked fellow. He even had taken out of the temple the things that belonged in the temple, and he even went so far as to have a party and was drinking out of these vessels. But he was told also about his father. And so we have two examples there in Daniel. Beginning in chapter 5, verse 20, we'll also read in verse 22. But when he was told about his father after the handwriting on the wall, you remember that, all of a sudden he saw a hand writing on the wall. And none of his wise men could tell him what it was, but Daniel was given the privilege of being able to tell him, to warn him. And notice what he told him. But when his heart, and this is about Nebuchadnezzar, by the way, when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And if you remember, Nebuchadnezzar was the one who lived like a beast in the field, eating the grass. And his nails became long, and his hair became long and entangled, just like a wild animal. Why? Because he lifted himself up. And then, in verse 22, Belshazzar himself. And this, thou his son, O Belshazzar, hath not humbled thine heart. He had an excellent example before him. But he did not heed that. Why? Because he took the broad way. And he said, though thou knowest all this. If you read on just a little bit, you'll find out that that very night he died. So we might ask ourselves, when we want to choose the right road, who do we serve in life? Whom do we praise in life? Maybe a question that we can ask that would kind of get to the crux of the matter. Are we obedient or rebellious? I've heard people talk about their children. And they say, well, you know, I have several children, and this one and this one and this one, they're obedient children. But I have this one, and I just can't do anything with him. He's a rebellious child. We understand what the word rebellious means. And one is either obedient or rebellious. You can't be both at the same time. It's just like you can't be saved and you can't be lost at the same time. So let's examine this in regard to the narrow and the broad way. One who is obedient. We find examples in the Bible many, many times, and time would not permit us to look at all of them. We just want to look at a couple. In 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 10. Remember who Samuel was? You remember how Samuel came to be there where God would call out to him? Well, in this particular account, the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. In other words, I am obedient. Not just that I hear that I'm being called. I'm going to be obedient. I'm ready to do what it is that you want me to do. We find another example of this in Acts chapter 22 and verse 10. Know that it is the miraculous age of the church at this point. The church has already begun. The apostle Paul was at that time known as Saul. He was not even an apostle, but he was being called. He had a choice, and he was on a road. He was headed for Damascus. And the reason that he was headed for Damascus was to bind people in the church, to take them and try them. And the Lord appeared to him. And as Paul is recounting this, and the Spirit is having Luke record this, we read there in Acts chapter 22 and verse 10, and I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, arise, go into Damascus. There it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. Step one, you're on the road. You're asking for directions. You receive the instruction. You have a choice to make. And if you make the right choice, and Paul did, he went to Damascus. He there did not receive contact from someone immediately. And so he began to pray, and he prayed for 3 days, and Ananias was sent to him. But notice how desirous he was to be obedient. The Lord had appeared to him. You know, we might think if the Lord appeared to people today, perhaps they would obey. We have so much evidence showing us that, well, like Luke chapter 16, we talked about it a couple weeks ago, even though one came back from the dead, they wouldn't listen. Jesus Christ came back from the dead and he sent us his word, and people still won't listen. But Paul, Saul at that point, wanted to be obedient. He decided at that point to choose the narrow way. What about the broad way? Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 24 beginning. This is talking about God's people Israel. They had a choice. They had been given the choice time after time after time, just like many people today, given the opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to serve God, to do his will, to be faithful in service to him. And yet they choose to walk the broad way, and they expect that broad way to lead to where God is. Well, that's not what Jesus said it would go, where Jesus said it would go. In Proverbs chapter 1, verses 24 beginning, "Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have said it not all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you." Notice verse 28, if you will. "Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer." How does that fit us today? Christians are to be on the narrow way. When we deviate off of the narrow way and we get in the broad way and all of a sudden calamity hits, then we fall to our knees and say, "God, help me." What did he tell Israel, his people under that covenant? Let me read that again. "Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer." Why? They were not seeking him. They were not following him. They were not being obedient unto him. "They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me." Now notice why. "For that they hated knowledge and did not choose." See, it's a choice. "Did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore they shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them." The exact same thing that he said in the New Testament. You'll reap whatsoever you sow. You've got to choose the right road. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 18, we see another situation in which God's people had been given chances. Joshua was told on a number of occasions, "Be strong and of a good courage." He had a daunting task in front of him. He had a road to follow. He had directions given to him as to which way to follow. But notice what Joshua was told. "Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy words and all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage." Stay on the right path. Then we might go into the New Testament, to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. And I don't think this can be stressed enough. I don't think it's necessary to try to strike fear into the hearts of the hearers every time or all the time, but we do need to be reminded that those who do not take the right road, those who decide that they want to walk the broad way, that there's destruction awaiting them. By the way, these roads are so far apart that you can't walk on both of them at the same time. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 and 9, "And you are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and the glory of his power. Choosing the right road. Whose will do we strive to follow? You know, most of the things in nature will take the path of least resistance. Water, unless forced, is not going to run uphill. Electricity will take the best circuit to ground. But we have the choice. We have it within our powers to make a choice. And we can be on the narrow way, or we can be on the broad way. The narrow way is doing God's will. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, just not long after our Lord spoke the words that we read in our text this evening, we see that Jesus pointed out something that all should be aware of. And it even applies today. This was spoken before the kingdom. It was spoken during the time when these Pentecost pointers were being given to the children of Israel, those who would be granted entrance into the kingdom first, because the gospel was first only preached to those Jews beginning on the day of Pentecost. But Jesus told them there, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. There are so many today that are actually on the broad way. For whatever reason, they can't realize it. They can't understand it. But they think that they are on the way to righteousness, the way to heaven, because they say, Lord, Lord. Because they are, quote unquote, religious. But notice what Jesus said. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. If you're going to be on the narrow way, you have to do God's will. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, we find the Apostle Peter, directed by the Spirit in that general epistle that bears his name, to write these words. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, notice this is the directive, arm yourself likewise with the same mind. Why did Jesus come? He came to do the will of his Father in heaven. We actually have a choice. We can choose to follow God. We can choose to arm ourselves with the same mind. And then he tells them, for he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. What is our focus in life? As we're choosing the path to walk, do we choose to do God's will? Do we seek out God's will? What would God have me do in this situation? Opposed to that is those on the broad way. Basically, those who omit to follow. Those who decide they're not going to follow. In James chapter 4 and verse 17, this kind of fits those that I described who thought that they were on the way to heaven, but yet were really in the broad way. Those who know to do good and do not do it. What is James directed to write? Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. When we know something is good and right and proper, and we say, no, I'm not going to do that because I want to do something else. Friends, that's sin. That's not following God's will. That's following our own will. Another question we might ask ourselves when we decide which road we're going to choose or which way we're going to travel, are we preparing as we travel through life? Every one of us are on a journey. It began various times ago as we're all different ages. But we've been on that journey since we arrived here. And it will continue until such time as we no longer are in this life. And the whole purpose of this life is to get ready. Are we making preparations? In Acts chapter 2, verses 40 and 41, at the very beginning of the church. The gospel message was being proclaimed. People were allowed to hear it. They were allowed to have brought to their understanding the fact that Jesus Christ died upon Calvary's cross. This was the thing that was prophesied by the prophet Joel and many others about the Messiah coming, about him dying, about the church. And they were going to be given a chance. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 40 through 41, we're not told everything that was said there, but it says, with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. You have a choice. You can choose to get on the narrow road, or you can take the broad way. Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then verse 41 says, then they that gladly received his word. In other words, they wanted to be saved. They were willing to submit themselves to God's will. They wanted to be obedient. They wanted to be able to praise God. They wanted to serve God because they wanted to be on the right road. They that gladly received his word were baptized. That was the instruction they were given. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And you say, yeah, but they were lost. They were on the broad way. They didn't know they were on the broad way. Friends, the narrow way was just being opened up. They had the opportunity to be the first ones to travel on that narrow way. Well, how does that work for people who are already Christians? Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12 must spring to mind here. This was written to Christians. These were people to whom Paul had gone on one of his journeys, people that he had converted, people that he had taught the truth, perhaps even some of them baptized into Christ, was directed later to write to them, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but also much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You might say, well, preacher, that doesn't make sense, because they were already saved. Friends, they have not reached the destination. They're not there yet. Work. We have to make preparation. You don't just jump in the car and go. You make preparation to see if there's places where you can buy fuel along the way. Or if it's an extended trip where you can stay over. You make preparation. And as we are on our journey, from here to that which lies beyond, we must choose the right road. What about those on the broad way? In Luke chapter 17, verses 26 through 30, we see a prime example of heedlessness. They just didn't care. They thought things were going to go on like they always had. Find those words there, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Everything was going along just fine until the flood came. But that's not the only example. Likewise, also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built it. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. If I remember correctly, Lot desired that his married daughters come with him out of that place. And his sons-in-laws mocked him. Everything's fine. Why? Because they would not heed. They weren't preparing. There are two roads, and we must choose the right road. Those two roads need to be defined. We need to know what they are and where they go. And we read that in our text. He says, many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. But what is the narrow way? What is the broad way? The narrow way is the way of truth. In John chapter 8 and verse 32, Jesus himself speaking, he says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In other words, if you're willing to follow me, you're willing to get on the narrow road, you have to follow truth. We say, well, what is truth? Today, we have a lot of people saying, well, that's your truth, or that's her truth. That doesn't work, because what you believe, what you feel, is not the same as what someone else believes and what someone else feels. But Jesus also answered that in John chapter 17 and verse 17. We could tell what the way of truth is. He, in that prayer for his disciples, said to his Father, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And so if we're going to be in the narrow way, we're going to walk in accordance to the word. Plain and simple. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 14 is another passage that perhaps would help us to understand this narrow way that leads to life. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. That's where the narrow way goes. That's the way of truth as these roads are defined. But what about the broad way? The broad way is full of religious error. I've had people say, well, so-and-so, you know, he's a good man, he's religious. Saul was religious. Matter of fact, he was known for his zeal. He was one that had some get up and go. But he was religiously wrong. He was sincerely wrong. In Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12, we find the wise man being told by the Spirit to pen these words. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Remember what Jesus said about the narrow way? Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Man does not always think clearly. The way that man thinks leads to death. Therefore, the way that man thinks would put him on the broad way. They would look at it and say, well, look, everybody else is going that way. Won't get you to where you want to go. A lot of times people want to think about their conscience. Well, in Acts chapter 23 and verse 1, Paul had the opportunity, as it was told that he would, to stand before kings, to defend himself, to stand before rulers, the council. In this particular place, in Acts chapter 23 and verse 1, Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. What day? Until the day he found out the truth. He was walking on the broad way, the way that led to destruction, and he had the opportunity to change roads. And he did. His conscience was not guiding him properly, because the conscience will only guide you in the way in which you tell it is okay. The life that we live reflects the road that we're on. I began early by saying, where are you going? I asked that question again as we near the end of the sermon. Where are you going? Which road have you chosen thus far? There's a wonderful, wonderful thing about this broad road. Not much is wonderful about it. Not its destination, but the fact that there are what we would call interchanges. There's a place where you can get off of that broad road and get on the narrow. There's a place where you can change from one road to another, from one direction to another. By the way, both of these are one-way roads. That road to destruction, that broad way, it only goes to destruction. It does not go toward salvation. You have to get off of that and get on the narrow way and go back toward salvation. You're now at a crossroad, and you can make the change today. You can make a choice to change roads, to change destinations, but you have to do it in accordance to the Word of God. You have to do it in accordance to truth. Because straight is the gate. That word means difficult. Narrow is the way. It's not going to be an easy route. But it's not impossible. And at the same time, it's not so difficult that we cannot do it because we have the Lord's help if we choose that way. But first, we must make the choice to get on the right path. How do we do that? By being obedient to the gospel plan of salvation to begin with. We're told in James chapter 1 and verse 22 that we must hear the word. James reminds those Christians that were scattered abroad to be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. One must also believe, as Hebrews 11 and 6 tells us, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We know that one must repent. We talked about Saul, the fact that he chose to change roads. What happened to him? Well, Acts chapter 26 and verse 20, we see that showed first unto them of Damascus and Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. One must also confess. Jesus in Luke chapter 12 and verse 8 said, also I say unto you that whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. And one must be baptized. It just does not get any plainer than Mark 16 and verse 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's how you get on the narrow road. You can't be born onto it. You cannot just jump over on it. You have to be obedient, and you have to be baptized in Christ as you're being obedient. But Jesus also said, but he that believeth not shall be damned. One must also remain faithful unto death. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20 tells us that we must remain on that narrow way. Once we have chosen the right road, you must remain on it. It's a very improper teaching for those who will say that once you are on the narrow road, you cannot get off of it. Remember what I said? It's kind of like our interstates or interchanges. When you come to a crossroads, you have a choice. You have those choices daily. You must stay on it. You must stay on that road, that path that leads to glory. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. So one must obey the gospel. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. Then remain faithful unto death. But what about those who have become erring Christians? Those who have, quite frankly, gotten on the broad way again. They have to repent and pray. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 25 through 26, we find the instructions to one who would call people back to repentance. In meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. And then verse 26 gives their part as they face the crossroad, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Every one of us are at a crossroad right now. We'll be continually coming upon these crossroads, the time in which we must choose the right road. If you've not chosen the right road this evening, you need to choose it, because you do not know how much further you will be traveling on that road before your soul will be required of you. If indeed you have chosen the right road one time, and then for whatever reason have allowed yourself to get on that broad way, know that you are headed for destruction, and you can change that right now in repentance and prayer. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, won't you come as we stand and sing the selected hymn?